5, verse number 17, 2 Corinthians 5. We'll start reading in verse number 17 this evening. Have several people out sick that's called. You pray for them. Have several needs in the church tonight. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become anew. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. You may be seated tonight. He says in verse 14, for the love of Christ constrains us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. That he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto them which died for him, for them, and rose again. Now wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. That verse 17, therefore if any man, and here's the phrase tonight I want to deal with, to be in Christ. I want to take a look at that a few minutes on being in Christ. Now first of all, you'll notice in Ephesians 1 and verse number 11, we'll go to several scriptures. I want to sort of bounce around everywhere and get you some Bible text training tonight. But in Ephesians 1 and verse number 11, here Paul is writing to the church. And he says that in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance to the redemption, the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. Now you'll notice in verse number 12, the Bible says that we should be the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. And this has to do with relationship. Now, here the writer's writing, and he said, you know something? After I heard the Word of God, I believed. It's very important tonight that we get the Word of God out, because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. He chose the foolishness of preaching to save those that believe. And here Paul is writing in the church of Ephesus, and he says that we should be the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. I want to say that this thing that has to do with relationship, I'm glad there's a place in my life where I have trusted Christ. You say, well, am I going to heaven? Well, if you can go to a place where you've trusted Christ, then you're going to heaven. If you've not come to a place in your life where you've trusted Christ, then how can you be saved if you've never called upon him? And so here, being found in him gives us a place. I'm glad I have a place where I heard, and I'm glad I've got a place where I was heard. I'm glad I stepped out by faith and asked him to save me one Sunday morning, and my life changed. And therefore, in this thing of relationship in him, I have a place. Then Romans 8 and verse number 1, you'll notice in this thing of relationship, not only do we have a place, but we have a pardon. We have a pardon. Thank God my sins are gone. I'm glad he's good at taking away our sins. He says in verse number 1 of chapter 8 in the book of Romans, there is therefore now no condemnation. That word condemnation means a verdict. There is no condemnation of them which are, here it is, in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now you'll notice that it didn't say that there's no condemnation of those that are doing good works. He did not say that there was no condemnation of those that have been baptized. But he says there's one reason that we don't have no condemnation, because we have been placed in Christ Jesus.
I'm glad we have a pardon. He says, there's now no condemnation. I'm no longer condemned. As you see a building, it's wrote condemned on it. That's the way we were to get to heaven. We were condemned. No way we could get there. But aren't you glad that Jesus took our place? And you know something, this thing of pardon, I want to deal with this. I don't know if you've ever noticed this. I want to give you something to chew on just a minute. And I seen it this evening, and I want to share it with you. In Romans 3 and verse number 25 on this thing of pardon. Now, you've heard people say a lot, well, when Jesus saved me, I believe He saved me from my past. But what's He do about my future? Well, I was reading this, and today God gave me a nugget out of it. In Romans 3 and 25, He says this. Let's get verse 24. It's a good. 23 is better. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in, here's our text, that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation, or that it means to appease or to satisfy, through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God. Now, why didn't He say for the future? He only listed past. I got to thinking, well, no. Huh? Lord, what are You trying to show me there? Now, let's watch what it says. God has set forth to be a propitiation or an appeasement or a satisfaction through faith in His blood to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. Well, could I ask you this thought tonight? Would we ever have future sins? We may do some sins in the future, but soon as I commit that sin, it goes to the past. How do I sin in the future if I ain't got there yet? So don't be worried if He'll forgive you of your future sins. You'll never have none. About four of y'all's got that. I called Brother Jody Harrison. He laid the phone down, run and shouted about a half an hour. Now you watch this. There may be sins coming in my future, but I've not done them yet. And when I commit a sin and when it's finished, where does it go? To my past. It's not out in my future. Boy, I'm glad the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all unrighteousness. I'm glad my past is gone. Now, there may be some sin coming to me in the future, but when I do it, it'll be in my past. Because you don't get in trouble until you done it. Ain't that right? Well, I thought it's pretty good. That's why He didn't say future on there. We have no future sins. Thank God He's got our past covered. And then in this relationship, being in Christ, what a wonderful place to be. It's nice to be in a building tonight, but there's nothing like being in Christ. I was raised in a great Christian home, but there's nothing like being in Christ. I was in one of the greatest organizations in America. You know what? It's nothing like being in Christ. I mean, I have had some of the best friends. I've got the best wife a man could ever have. But let me tell you, there's nothing like being in Christ. Are you in Christ? I'm not talking about if you've been baptized, if you joined a church. Have you thought about trying to do better? Has it ever been a time that you've accepted Jesus as your Savior? After you heard the word, the truth of the gospel preached. Now, this has to do with relationship in Him. There's a place, there's a pardon. And then Romans 5 and 1, there is a peace. I sure am glad I got peace in my heart. Therefore, being justified or set free by faith, we have peace with God. Here it is, through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith in this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. I'm glad I have that peace, a peace that passes all understanding. You know, a lot of people are looking for peace in all kind of different places. They're looking for it in a bottle. They're looking for it in a jug. They're looking for it in a bag. But let me tell you, there is no peace outside of that being in Jesus Christ. I'm glad He gives me peace to know that when I meet Him, everything's going to be all right. Now, have I lived a sinless life? No, I haven't. Well, preacher, have you always done right? No, I haven't. But I can tell you dogmatically tonight, since the first day I got saved, I've always wanted to do right. And so therefore I have peace with Christ. I'm justified by faith. We have peace with God. Look, through our Lord Jesus Christ. There's no other way to have peace except by Christ. And then in this thing of relationship in Christ, not only do we have a place and a pardon and a peace, but we have a position. In Ephesians 2, in verse number 13, but now, here's our phrase, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Now, aren't you glad that we serve a God tonight, that in the position we stand as a child of God? No longer are we on the outer courts. I'm glad the veil of the temple was rent. I'm glad it's been torn from top to the bottom. I'm glad that he's not discerning no more between Israel and the Gentiles. I'm glad we can all come by faith in Christ tonight and we have a position. I'm glad I'm a child of God. Look, it says in 13, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off, you're made nigh, or you're brought back whole by the blood of Christ. And then in this relationship, not only do we have a peace and a position, but we have a part. I'm glad we have a part of something being in Christ. In Galatians chapter number 3, you'll notice in verse number 22, in Galatians 3 and 22, the Bible says, but the Scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. For you're all the children of God by faith, here's the term, in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Now I say that the heir, as long as he's a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. Now in this thing of relationship, being put in Christ by faith. First of all, how did I get in Christ? How did you get in Christ? I heard the word. I believe. By faith, I've been put in Christ. I've been justified by his blood, washed. But now I have a part in the family of God. The Bible here says, I'm an heir to the throne. I'm an heir to Abraham. Now, did you know something? When my dad passed away in Tennessee, I was one of the first they called because you know why? I was an heir. I had a part in that family. I was notified. I want to tell you, our God's not dead. Nobody's notified me that he's dead tonight. I got notified he's alive. He's not on a cross like the Catholic Church has got him on a cross. No, honey, that's not Calvary. He got down from the cross. He was buried, and the third day he got up. And I'm glad he lives for sinners. I'm glad he's the friend of sinners tonight. And therefore, in this relationship of being in Christ, I have a part. I'm an heir to the King. Don't let these clothes fool you. I got money tonight. Don't let what I'm riding in fool you. Boy, my father owns the cattle of 1,000 hills. I don't know why we go around so sad and gloomy and doomy. Amen. We might not be living where we're living or the way we want to be living. But I can tell you this, you'll never go lacking because you're his responsibility tonight. I'm glad he's going to see about his children. And therefore, in him I have relationship. Thank God I'm in the family. Is anybody glad they in the family? Would you rather be in the Joneses? I hadn't. I wouldn't rather be in the Browns. Thank God I'm in the family of God. Boy, I'm glad it come by price. I'm glad he come to where I was and got a hold of me and brought me back to his house. I wasn't looking for God. God busted in on me. That's just like him, friend. We love him because he first loved us. I'm glad he come to my house. Thank God he come, shook me and woke me up. And so therefore in him I have relationship. Number two, in him I have responsibilities. Now in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse number 18, you'll notice this, that we have a responsibility to worship him. God seeks such as those to worship him. He's saying here to the church of Thessalonica, he says in verse number 16, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now I'm going to tell you something. Since we're in Christ, you know what he wants us to do? He wants us to give him thanks. He said, preacher, I don't have nothing to give him thanks for. Oh, you do too. You got a lot to give him thanks for. Matter of fact, it won't take you far looking down the road to see what you can really thank him about. Go in a rest home a night or two. Go out yonder in the emergency rooms, take a look around. Boy, we got a lot. Go look around under a few bridges. Boy, we got a lot to thank God for. So we ought to worship him and we ought to thank him. And the Bible says this, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning. In everything give him thanks. In other words, he's got you at best. The total time of your day, he's looking about you. He's not going to let one thing come in to hurt us more than what can help us. I promise you that tonight. He said you ought to thank him for everything. We're responsible to worship. Now, he tells us this in John's Gospel. And he tells us this in chapter 4 and verse 23. The hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. He's looking for somebody to worship him. And how do we worship him? With praise and thanksgiving. We worship him by being obedient to him. And so certainly we have responsibility, since we're in him, to worship or to praise. Number two, we have a responsibility to witness. 2 Timothy 2 and verse number 10. 2 Timothy 2 and verse number 10. Here Paul is writing, and he says, therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself of these things. Put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Now here you'll notice in verse number 10, he said, I endure all things for the elect's sake, they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus. One of the responsibilities of us being in Christ is to link others to Christ, to be a witness. Paul said that he'd endure all things for the elect's sake, that they would be saved. I wonder who we're reaching around where we live and where we work. You'll be surprised the people that are looking at me and you as a witness. We are a witness. And you know something? It does matter what we're doing. It does matter where we're going. And so certainly people, we need to realize in this responsibility, we have a great responsibility to worship. Paul was worried about lost people. The church has lost its tears. It's lost its fears. Church don't fear God like it used to in days gone by. The church don't beg and ask God to save sinners the way that it did in days gone by. But we have a responsibility to be a witness. Let your light shine, that all men around you may see you and glorify your Father. You know, we're salt to the earth. We ought to be different people. Then in Ephesians 2 and verse number 10, our responsibilities are to worship. Our responsibility is to witness, but we find here in Christ, we have a responsibility in works. Go to Ephesians 2, verse number 10. There the Bible says, "For we are His workmanship, created," here it is, "in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Now, good works are products of conversion. You don't work to be saved, you work after you get saved. And certainly it bothers me when people are not hungry to come to the house of God to hear the Word of God. People bother me when it's a chore and a challenge every day to live for God outside the walls of this church. It's easy to smile and say, "How I love Jesus," in a choir. But when you go outside, it's when we need to put the gospel shoes on and live in front of people by the works that we do. You know, we've lost pretty much something in a generation of courtesy to women. Used to, men would open door for ladies, and men would be men, and ladies would be ladies. And I think we need to get back to that in our country. My goodness, if we're in Christ, there ought to be some works producing out of our life. Let me ask you this. The God of this Bible says He's a God of fire. And if the God of this Bible lives in you, it ought to be some things in our life burning up. It ought to be some things burning up in us that's gone today that was there the day He saved us. In other words, we ought to be becoming more like Christ, Christ-like. And things that we do ought to bother us in our works. And then our responsibilities, because we're in this relationship, we have great responsibilities as a child of God. He didn't just save us and turn us loose. It cost Him something. It's going to cost you something. You see, there's a payday coming someday. And everything that this book says, it's coming to pass. There's responsibilities of worship. It's responsibilities of witness. I think God wants us to witness to all mankind, to be a light. There's responsibility to work. And then, lastly, under this thing of responsibility, we have a responsibility of warfare. In 2 Timothy 2, we'll find the teaching, 2 Timothy 2 and verse number 1. Paul's writing to young Timothy, and he says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." See that? In Christ Jesus. "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." Now, don't think for one second God's going to allow the devil to be in a closet locked and not bothering you if you're living for Him. He's going to show you this is a spiritual battle. I guarantee you everybody here was fought about getting here tonight. You'll be fought about coming to church Sunday. You'll be fought about doing right. You'll be fought in your worship. You'll be fought in your witnessing. You'll be fought in your works. But I'm going to tell you, in our warfare, He says, "I want you to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus." So what? Somebody said something smart to you. So what? Somebody sort of offended you, got your feelings hurt. Don't you think if somebody could offend you and get you out of the house of God, the devil would do that to you the first trip? Endure hardness. You know what that word endure means? Put up with. Suck it up and move on. Put your big boy britches on. Put your big girl britches on. And move on for the glory of God. This ain't just old good ship lollipop sailing through without no issue. Honey, let me tell you, you're going to have some issues if you serve the Christ of this body. There's a real devil. He throwed him out of heaven. He ain't locked in heaven tonight. He's walking around seeking whom he may devour. He's after you and your home, your children, after our grandbabies, after our church. He's a wicked devil tonight, friend. I'm going to tell you, you better endure hardness as a good soldier. Boy, I love the battles of the Civil War. I love those old things. When you look at those Civil War soldiers, I think I told Brother Mike, I was preaching in Knoxville, Tennessee a couple of weeks ago, and I was preaching on the old things that I was raised up with and some things that has left our country, and There's a lot of older people there, and they were relating to what I was saying. The last night of the service, there was a lady come to me, and I guess she was nearly 80 years old. She said, "Preacher, I've got something I want to show you being last night of revival." She said, "You've been talking about the old things this week. I want to show you a pioneer come across the Smokies out through Pigeon Forge. He was one of the first men there who was my granddaddy." She opened up an old leather-looking binder, and there was his picture. He was standing in a pair, looked like he had on a pair of black boots to his knees, his own two canes, had a white beard. He'd make Si look like he just come out of the barbershop. Somebody say amen. He's leaning forward on his sticks. And she said, "Preacher, you know what he's doing?" I said, "No, ma'am." She said, he forded the river up at the Smokies. And it was so cold, his legs froze. They put him down and took a cross-cut saw and cut his legs off below his knees. You know what the man did? He made him some wood pegs to go under his knees to stick in them black boots, and then he packed rags around it to make it tight, leaned on them two sticks, and walked the rest of his life. Endure hard. Reckon he's seen any hard times. Endure hardness as a good soldier. I can barely wait till Brother Josh can show you some film clips of where he's administering to for over a year and a half. Little young'uns going through the dumps just trying to get something to eat in the Philippines. Christian people are suffering today in ways that they've never suffered before. And you better believe if you're going to live for this God I'm preaching about, if you're going to live a separated and a dedicated life, honey, let me tell you something, you're going to meet the devil in ways you thought it was unimaginable. I've talked with three preachers today just about ready to holler, "Somebody else, come get this thing." It is a spiritual warfare. And let me tell you, he's just not after me. He's after you. He's after every young'un in the house tonight. Endure hardness. Now, let me ask you this. Some of you, if your daddy took you out to cut wood, and you got a little splinter in your finger, and you got your pocket knife, and you got the splinter out, would you have just sat down and went back to the truck and sat down? No. Your daddy got a rag, wrapped it, and say, "Boy, keep a cutting wood." Endure hardness. Hard times is going to come. It means we're going to have to put up with some things. Endure hardness as a good soldier. I want to be a good soldier. Have you noticed when those soldiers come marching home that their garments were tore? I mean, they were ragged looking, but you know something? They stayed faithful. You know what I want to be? I want to stay faithful. I admire children wanting to raise their babies in the house of God. I admire mamas that will not abort their children and raise them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord Jesus. I admire young men trying to get a job and support their family. I admire the strongholds, the pillars of the church, this sort of rolling with the punches and saying, "Preacher, we'll get through this. Just keep your eyes on Jesus." Honey, let me tell you tonight, we better realize we're one of the last churches in America that's standing on a King James Bible, that the altars is still open, still singing those songs, and you better know if the devil's going to make us pay for it. But he says, "I want you to endure hardness as a good soldier." Verse 4, "No man that warreth entangle himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." I'm going to tell you something, friend. You'll never go far with God straddling the fence. And so he says, "I want you to endure hardness in your warfare, our responsibilities." Now, our relationship. We're in Christ. We're secure. I'm glad he's covered me of all my sins that are past. Thank God I ain't got none in the future. Hallelujah. And then there's responsibilities. But lastly, I'm going to tell you, he gives us resources to carry out these responsibilities. He just don't draft you in the war and let you go buy everything that you need somewhere else. He's got everything that you need. Matter of fact, he's got everything me and you need in him, in Christ. I'm going to tell you this, these resources he has. In Romans 8, verse number 36, Romans 8, verse number 36. they'd let Cy be president in about 6 years, we'd have this thing going in the right direction. Amen. And that's a fact, Jack. Romans 8, verse 36. As it is written, for thy sake we're killed all the day long. We're counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, or powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God. Here it is, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Thank God we've got the love of God on our side. I tell you how you love your enemy, by the love of God that lives in you. I can tell you how you can give the right answer when you want to pop somebody's jaw. Anybody ever want to pop somebody upside the head? Let me go a little further. Anybody just want to bust somebody upside the head? Well, aren't you glad in our resources that we're going to be a witness? Aren't you glad that He's got the love of God on our side? I've thought about this a lot. My goodness. He may have done me wrong and done this, but I wouldn't trade places with Him. Thank God for the love of God. And then I'm glad these resources, we have the hope of God. 1 Corinthians 15, verse number 19. One of the Sunday school teachers the other morning, they alluded to this fact of the word of hope. It's not about wishing, but it is an ultimate expectation, a knowing. And in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse number 19, you'll notice this. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we're of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead, become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. And I'm going to tell you, I'm glad I've got more hope than what's just in this life in Christ. I'm glad I've got me a mansion, friend. I'm glad I've got some things laid up for me where robbers and thieves can't break through and steal. I set an alarm system night before I left because the thugs abound in Georgia. Amen. I don't know what we're going to do when all these tree huggers get all our guns. I reckon they'll outlaw Doberman Pinschers then. Amen. Somebody crawled under our buses the other night, took a hose pipe. Instead of siphoning gas out of the side, they crawled on there, cut the hoses, run their hose pipe in there. And I'm going to tell you what I said. I said, I wish they'd have blowed up. And then I got to think, I told my wife, I said, well, no, if they'd have did that, they'd have sued the church for $100 million for having gas in the vehicles. Now that just makes me mad as far as somebody be stupid. You hear me tonight? You can't fix stupid. Go to school all you want. You ain't gonna fix stupid. You gotta apply stuff. And so here tonight, boy, I'm glad I've got a hope I'm getting out of this whole world. My Lord, if I thought that I was gonna hang around here, and if I thought all this was gonna bring me this worldly pleasure, one day I thought it would. I thought if I could climb high enough on that corporate ladder, I'd have a place. Let me tell you, I didn't have a place. I had a bunch of headaches. Amen. I thought if I could get a hold of this, it'd make me happy. No, it made me sad. But I'm glad 1981 when I met the Lord Jesus Christ, I was placed in Him in the family of God. I'm telling you, I'm glad tonight I've got a hope beyond this world. It's shining brighter than it's ever shined. Thank God there is a city where the builder and maker is God. Hallelujah. I'm glad I'm headed home by the good grace of God and get out of all this mess in this place. And these little liberals come tiptoeing in here and they don't want preaching. They done found the wrong place. I'm going to go to turning the preaching up. I'm telling you tonight, thank God for the hope. There's resources when we got in this thing. The love of God. If it wasn't for the love of God, I'd be in jail tonight with my temper. Amen. The hope of God, it keeps me going, knowing I've got a better place to go to. Then there's wisdom God gives us. 2 Timothy 3, Oh, how we need wisdom to handle all of our situations. Now, ain't that low down sorry? Somebody come to God's house and steal His gas? I ain't done with that point yet. That right there is just low down, ain't it? If somebody needed gas, all they'd have to do is come up here and say, we need some gas. We'd give them gas. But now it's going to cost $300 to fix their stupidness. I'd love to walk on that bus. None of y'all are watching. And that'd cut them cameras off of me. I said, buddy, let me borrow that hose pipe a minute. That's the way I used to train bird dog. Booyah! Sorry, low-down rascals. Now, I'm going to tell you something. When they can come steal stuff at the church house, friend, that's a new low. New low. No conscience. Them folks right there do anything to your children. They need to get them off the streets. 2 Timothy 3. We'll find in verse number 12. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus, there's a phrase, shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving, being deceived. But continue in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. I'm glad that the Lord can give us wisdom to sort out all of our problems. You'll notice this, how important it is to learn the Word of God. I believe in Bible preaching, Bible teaching. He's writing here and he says, I want you to continue in the things that you've learned and has been assured of. It amazes me some guys say that they've been assured of some things and then back off of them and start doing something else. Let me tell you something, folks. This book's going to stand when the world's a-burning. Right here's something you can raise your family on. Right here's something that you can run your business with. Boy, there's wisdom. Thank God He gives wisdom. And then Romans 16, the resources He gives. He gives us the love of God, the hope of God, the wisdom of God. And I sure am glad He gives us some helpers of God. Romans 16, the preacher was preaching last week about this subject. I found it this evening in these texts. And in the book of Romans, Paul now, he's fixing to lay his pen down writing. And he says this in Romans 16, verse number 1. He says, I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is at Cenchrea, that ye receive her in the Lord as become a saint, and that ye assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you. For she hath been a secure of many, and of myself also. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus. You see that word? My helpers in Christ Jesus. I'm glad there's some folks in Christ Jesus can help us. Who hath for my life laid down their own necks. I'm going to park right here just a minute and tell you something I've learned in years of ministry. Older than some of you are tonight. Now you always listen what this preacher is saying right here. Somebody's got that always got to tell you, I love you, I love you, I love you. You better keep both eyes on them. You ain't got to tell me you love me tonight. You show that to me. And it don't hurt. It don't hurt occasionally. Hey, preacher, I love you. But you watch him, folks. It's always every service. Man, I love you. I love you. I'll just do anything in the world for you. I'll take a bullet for you. Yeah, right. Helpers. Watch this. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus. Who hath for my life laid down their own necks, to whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. Salute my well-beloved Euphantus, who is in the first fruits of Achaia in Christ. Greet Mary, who bestowed much labor on us. Salute Adronicus and Junia, my kinsmen, my fellow prisoners, who are of the note among the apostles, who also were in Christ before me. Greet Amplius, my beloved in the Lord. Salute Urban, our helper in Christ, and Stachys, my beloved. Salute Apelles, approved in Christ. Salute them which are Arsabas' household. Salute Herodia, my kinsmen. Greet them that be of the household of Narcissus, which are in the Lord. Now, Paul had helpers. I'm glad we got helpers here tonight. And I'm going to tell you, many of them don't have titles. But I sure am glad that we got helpers in the Lord. You'll never know how God uses you to help somebody else through this life. It could be a simple text. It could be a simple handshake. How are you doing? I want to encourage everybody here on Wednesday night, Sunday morning when new visitors come in this place, we'll charge their bench, welcome them to the family of God. We ought to be nice people, friendly people. Thank God Paul had some helpers. I'm glad I got some helpers in my life. And I'll be honest with you, I just don't know if I could have made it without helpers in my life. God is faithful sending you somebody. You ever notice that? God cares so much about us, He'll put somebody in your life to be a great help to you. And lastly, our resources. We have love, we have hope, we have wisdom, we have helpers, and we have what the Bible teaches, a triumph. 2 Corinthians 2, verse 14. Now thanks be unto God. Here's our term, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest the Savior of His knowledge by us in every place. Oh, I sure am glad that He lets us triumph. Where? In Christ. You got a problem? Give it to Christ. You got something you can't handle? Give it to Christ. He specializes in trouble. Aren't you glad of that? And boy, He gives us resources. He don't just ask us to be a Christian and not give us resources to be. I'm glad He gives us love. Glad He gives us peace. Glad He gives us hope, wisdom, helpers, and triumphs in our life. Thank God I'm in Christ. Are you in Christ tonight? Do you just know about Him or are you in Him? Oh, I'm glad I'm in Him and I'm glad He's in me. Thank God I'm in the family. Appreciate you being here tonight. If you'd stand with us, I do appreciate you coming out on this Wednesday afternoon, realizing a lot of places you can be.